It's out of your hands, you've done all you can do. You've given God the problem, it's no longer up to you. You've prayed the prayer of faith, now you're standing on God's truth. While you're waiting on the answer, He has a question for you. Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond His power to solve? Are there situations that He's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God? Only believe, trust His word, you'll see. He loves you. Just look at all He's done. For all your questions, there's really only one. Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond His power to solve? Are there situations that He's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond His power to solve? Are there situations that He's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God?
Okay, wonderful. Everything tonight was wonderful. Thank you for the special. Appreciate it. And it's good to seeing Dr. Smith again. I had the opportunity to be in a couple of two or three missions conferences with him. And so it was special. All right, so what am I doing here? So I had this up higher or lower. Does it matter? Okay, I could say treble, okay, no, all right. Stand back a little bit, am I hot? All right, okay. I think the key is, let's keep on talking, they'll get it, okay? All right, I just wanna, again, let you know how much I love you. I see familiar faces everywhere I look, and, you know, this is intimidating. You know, when I come back home to my church, it's like, what do I preach? Well, I want to preach that. I want to say this. Oh, I really want to say this, you know. And of course, you're going to pray to God that He would give you what to say. And I believe the Lord has, for me, what He wants me to give to you. And it's a message that I've preached before. But if you would just give me your ears, both of them, for the time that I'm here. So, all right. If you would please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. I guess for this isn't meant to stand behind a pulpit and preach, okay? I got the message. I'm supposed to be all around the place. I know that. It's all right. I'll do that. if you would turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. It's where we start from. 24 and verse 23. If you all stand, please, for the reading of the scripture. And we'll read for a while. And verse 23 reads, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan." And chapter 5 and verse 1, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your word. Father, we thank you so much for bringing us together and for having us to continue thus far. And we know that you're coming, your son's coming is very soon, we believe. And Father, help us to stand strong. Help us, Lord God, to do the right thing, to be the right thing. Well, Father, there's so many things that that we need from this book. Father, I pray that what's said tonight would be just what we need, Father, and would be just, Lord God, what somebody needs to keep them from going astray, or keep them from being discouraged, or keep them from giving up, or being led astray. Father, we ask you, you ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Here in this passage, I like to preach so much more usually when I start, and I can only just preach half, so I usually just plan on preaching half of what I really want to preach. If I can go further, I would. I just know as, you know, this little addition. But this message I entitle "Some Weaknesses That Brings Blessings." As the world would call weaknesses, but we call them good virtues, but yet, in a sense, there are indeed weaknesses that brings blessings. And so, let's start off in verse 23 of Matthew 4. Jesus has just come on the scene. He's introducing his ministry. As he's coming on the scene, he's stirring up a good cloud dust. I mean, he's healing all those that come to him. All those that are blind that come to him could see. All those that are lame that come to him can walk and leap, I'm sure. All those that come to him that were possessed with devils were made free, and they were loosed. And all those that come to him that were lunatic were in their right minds and in their and clothed. By the way, those go hand in hand, by the way, being clothed and in their right minds. And so, I got to throw in a little bit of that for you. I don't like that here. All those that were disease possessed, that had infirmities, were made clean and whole, and he preached the kingdom of heaven. And as he preached the kingdom of heaven, I better watch out, because this does not, it's not like other churches where you can just kind of walk and you'd be okay after your last step. Okay? If I jump down here, you're going to have to help me up. and maybe out. So as we see Jesus making his impression, now the message is this. He has come to take upon himself our infirmities. And those miracles and all those things that he did that were for the flesh and for the temporal things were just to represent what he came to do spiritually. Remember how he made an application of healing that that blind man who was he is thrown out of the temple, and they didn't believe that he could have been blind until they called his mother. Remember that one in John 9? John 11, one of those. And he sees Jesus, and Jesus tells the application of the miracle. Those that are blind can see, and those that can see be made blind. Pharisee says, "Are we blind?" He said, "If you say you had not sinned, then you're blind." In other words, his miracles was just an example of what he really came to do. And a lot of us are seeking things that we want happening right now, rather than be in the, and those are important things. We need those things. They are essential for a testimony and for a witness of Jesus Christ, and we know that, but that's not the real essence, and that's not the real fellowship of Jesus Christ. Many had devils cast out of them, but yet found seven more wicked than they were, you see. Someone said, a missionary said, "Hey, it is easier to praise God when you got something in your pocket." Talking to the Ethiopians. True praise and true religion is when you can praise God when nothing is jingling in your pocket, but the gospel is ringing in your heart. That's true praise. And so the people were in great expectation. Is this the Messiah? Is he going to deliver us from the tyranny and from the rule of the Roman Empire? Some were indeed abreast with what was going on and knew that this was the time that Daniel spoke up. This was about the time, and my time is coming real soon. It's about the time, and they were wondering, is this that prophet, in other words, that Moses talked about, is this Elijah before that great and notable day? Who is he? What's going to happen next? Will he give us this power? Will he make us to have a piece of the pie? I'm going to reign with them. No, I'm going to reign with them, they were saying. I'm going to be close to him. Why? Because they were wanting something now. That's why Peter was rebuked for wanting to be close to him, because he didn't want spiritual things. He wanted something now. He wanted something in his pocket. He wanted something that wasn't quite spiritual. Now he gives us those things. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Indeed. And so they were in great expectation. I must go on. And so as he sees everyone, he calls everyone. Everyone follows him to the mountain, and he sits them all down on the mountain. And so he begins to preach what's called the Sermon on the Mount. Now, he didn't call it that. We call it that. Who's ever heard of the Sermon on the Mount? The sermon is, raise your hands high. The Sermon on the Mount. Oh, it's his most famous sermon, if I could say that. It gets right to the heart of our need and our problem, and that's a heart. It isn't what's happening on the outside or around us. It's a heart. It isn't what we are doing on the outside. It's what we are in our heart, you see. And so when he preaches that message, if anyone's listening, we are all lost after that. But yet he preaches how that he must die and rise again for the sins of the whole world. And so he begins to teach, and he starts off this Sermon on the Mount with what I believe is an introduction to the sermon. And we all know about that one too. The Beatitudes. Who's ever heard of the Beatitudes? Raise your hand. The Beatitudes. Oh boy, that's great. The Beatitudes is the most handled piece of scripture that I know of since I've been saved. Okay? Maybe you know some other ones. That's okay. But I've heard so much about the Beatitudes. And the main thrust of the Beatitudes is if you be a child of God, then you have these things happening in you. If you be a child of God, then you are a peacemaker. If you be a child of God, then you are willing to sacrifice yourself for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, if you be a child of God. And so after that introduction, well, everyone is somewhat all scrambled up. And so he starts off teaching everyone. He says this: blessed are the poor in spirit, in verse 3, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I bet he lost most of his folks already. Wait a minute. I want something that's mine. I mean, I work hard. You said you're going to come and set up your kingdom, and I'm going to be poor? You want me to be poor and to be blessed? What do you mean? Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is neither here or there, but it's nigh even unto your heart. The Bible says that the heaven is its throne and the earth is its footstool. The heavens cannot contain. And the kingdom of heaven is described in a few ways, but the main thing is that there is a life for those who believe in Christ, and there's judgment for those who do not. Every kingdom has a judgment. Every kingdom has a reward. And what he's saying is that if you're on earth, it is my dominion as well. And I could work in your dominion as much as I could work in mine. In other words, the kingdom of heaven can be yours now, you see. And so he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. King David said, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Though thou art my help, you see. King David had all that he could put his hand on almost. He had all the gold, had all the silver, had all, he could build houses if he wanted to, but he said, I am poor and needy. It is that kind of heart that brings you the kingdom of God. Until you can realize that all of your righteousness and all of your goodness are filthy rags in God's eyesight, you cannot be born again. No, you cannot. You have to realize that all that I can do and to save myself, all that I can do together and bring it to the throne and say, Lord God, let me in. I've done these. I have this for you as an offering. Cannot redeem you. It cannot save you. You must say, I am poor. I am needy. I must be born again. I need mercy. And the one who died for you, who bought you by his blood, will give you everlasting life. And he, look, listen, and Psalm 70, but I am poor and sorrowful. And let thy salvation, O God, set me on high. When you realize just how needy you are, and that's how destitute we are because of our sins, oh, there's a sorrow, there is a darkness, but only the light of the gospel can drive that away. Why? Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Luke kind of puts it really, really strong in there. If you're poor in this life, he said, be rich in the life to come. I think Luke deals with the new life, the new life. And see, until you Christians, I hope we say all of us who are Christians, but maybe somebody here who's not, when you're born again and the Lord has a work for you to do, you better realize that all of your talents and all of your goodness and all of your unique qualities cannot do the job. You have to realize that you are poor and needy. You must run to the throne of grace to find help in a time of need. And believe me, time of need is often for me. And so, listen, when I was called to preach, I knew how poor I was in my abilities. I couldn't speak. I can't speak now. I was so bad, I couldn't understand what I was saying. I mean, it was bad. But I said, God called me. And if I got to stumble and stutter and fall on my face to do his work, I will. Why? Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on and says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. huh? Comforted. We live in a day and age where the key is happiness. Let's make this a happy day for Sunday. You know, every Sunday is a happy day. Let's turn up the music a little bit. Let's kind of, come on, let's have them dancing down the aisle and dancing into their pews. Come as you are, leave as you are. That's okay, as long as you leave some here before you go. Okay? That's the kind of religion and expectation that we have today. Be happy. But look at this. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Comforted. And that's a very familiar word. And Jesus, let's turn to John 14. And John 14 verse 16, we'll be relatively quick. The Lord talks about the Comforter. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, and that he may abide with you forever. Now, let me say this. That Comforter is who? The Holy Spirit. Even in Isaiah, when Isaiah begins to hit that 40 mark there in chapter 40, and if you've been studying Isaiah, someone even talked about Isaiah, it coincides with the New Testament, the 40th book, the 40th chapter. You hear and you see the Comforter, oh, comfort ye all ye my people. That word comfort is referring to the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit on the earth. And he will comfort, and he will comfort us in light of our sins. He may abide with you forever. Listen, let's go on to John chapter 16. And in John 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Now, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, he comforts us in light of our sins. He comforts those that mourn. In other words, there must be something that brings some kind of mourning before the Holy Spirit works in your life and in my life. There must be some kind of sorrow or trembling before the law. In other words, if I may say, there must be a repentance before we could say that we have comfort. Since I was 12, I would be so afraid of dying and going to hell. Since I was 12, I have nightmares often of going down to a dark place. And I wake up and afraid and terrified. Well, as time went on, I sought God, and God seemed so far away. I remember all the pictures of God and all the disciples. I went to a very formal American Baptist church, God just seemed so. I was baptized when I was 8, but I didn't have any peace. I was so afraid of dying and going to hell. I was trembling. I was sorrowful in my sins. And then at 18, there's a young man who walked by as I was going home from high school, Eddie Bell. Eddie Bell prayed and fasted for me 3 days and then witnessed to me back up there in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And Eddie Bell began to show, he asked me a question, do you know for sure if I die right now, I'll go to heaven? And I said, well, I was baptized, I don't know. And he began to show me out of Scripture how that my sins were going to take me to hell. And began to show me out of Scripture how that I must be sorry, in other words, repent or feel sorry for my sins. And as I began to see and know my sins and know my guilt and then know how that Jesus died for my sins and is risen again for my justification, it was the Comforter that saw someone who needed some comfort. And he came to me, and it was a Comforter that was turning those pages and saying, James, don't worry about it. The Savior died for you. The Comforter was opening my eyes. The Comforter was convicting my heart. It was a Comforter that answered somebody's prayers who got down on their face and mourned 3 days for me. Have you prayed for somebody that way? Maybe that's the reason why the Holy Spirit isn't working in your heart. Do you know what sent out missionaries and sent out pastors and sent out evangelists in the old days? It was tear-stained altars. I don't know about them. We talked about it. I saw some of it. I saw some of it here, but it's not like what we heard. Revival started that way. Every revival started tears. Why? Blessed are those who mourn, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I can go on and on and on, but I don't have on and on time. And then the Lord says in Matthew 4 and verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I must be quick here. And those that are meek, those that are meek. King David said, I am a worm and no man. By the way, that takes care of rights. Those are out the window. You may say, listen, I'll do what Jesus says, but I won't be walked on. I won't be somebody's carpet. Jesus was spat upon. More people spit on the ground than the carpet. He was lower than the ground. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And so, all over the scripture, the meek is referred to as having the earth. In Psalms 37, earth, meek. God can't use you down here unless you are meek, humble, low, nothing. The more nothing you are, the better you are. Oh, I can't do it. I don't know how to talk. I can't witness. I can't. Oh, God wants you to do it then. I don't have the talent. I don't have the knowledge and that. God wants you. Well, I'm so ugly and I stumble and you're the one that God wants. Why? It's the meek that inherit the earth, and they're the ones who the earth goes to for truth. Pride repels anything and anyone, but the meek shall inherit souls for Jesus Christ. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, God hath ordained strength. Those who are as children have the most power with God. I'll just go to Matthew. Let me see here. I'll just go to Matthew 11. And Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why come to me? Come to me, and I will show you the gospel. Come to me, and I will show you a refuge. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Can we say, come unto me, and I will show you rest? I am meek and lowly as my Savior. Don't be afraid of me. I don't have a blacklist. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you've done. Come to me, and I will show you the gospel. Jesus says himself, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. How about yours? What hoops does someone have to jump through to keep on your good side? If you can't get along with anyone here in this room, if you got a problem with somebody here in this room, you can be a witness. Most of what prayer is all about is about praying for you, your brothers and sisters in Christ. You shall know they shall know you by your love for one another. Why? For the meek shall inherit the earth. Having trouble soul winning? Well, it's because, maybe it's because of your lack of meekness. I don't have the gift of gab. But you do, you want to talk about somebody else. You can gab all day long. When it comes to soul winning, I don't have the gift. It's a commandment, not a gift. Yeah. All right. So, then he goes on and says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. First of all, until you realize, until you have a hunger for salvation, you cannot be saved. You have to want to be saved. There has to be a desire. Listen, when I was walking home from high school, I wasn't thinking about salvation. But when I got the aroma. Salvation sounds, smells good to me. You mean it's all free? You mean all sin and all can be covered? But give me a bite of that. You got to want it. No one tricked me into a prayer. No. I wanted it, and I got it. No, I didn't cry tears, okay? But I got it. And so he said, listen, hunger. I like to eat. Whenever my mother's cooking on the stove, when I was a boy, I would sit on the porch and look at the Betty Crockett book, and I'd go through that book, and I see the pictures, and I take that pot roast, and I pretend I was eating that pot roast. And then I turn to the fried chicken. That's the goldenest looking fried chicken. And I eat that fried chicken, and then three-layer cake, and I turn to the cake. I was hungry. Now, listen, how many of you have taken the Word of God and kissed it a few times, and, oh, I want to be so much more like Christ. I want to be so much more like Christ. I'm not satisfied with when I'm hungry, I'm not in a good mood. How many of you are not in a good mood because you're not like Christ? You're frustrated at yourself. You're coveting the things that is above. There was a boy when I was 10 years old named Stern. Stern was an Italian boy, and he invited me into his house for the first time. I said, oh, boy, yeah. He had a brother on his side and a really big brother on his side. And I mean, a big brother. I mean, he was 15, 16, but he's the biggest 15, 16 I've ever saw in my whole life. We were sitting down talking and everything. And then his mother cooking inside the kitchen. Then all of a sudden, the table rumbled. And they got up. And there's commotion everywhere. What happened is that mom said, come and get it. And when she did, it was all war. I mean, they're just fighting. And the big one just boom, boom, boom. And he that boom. And he won the war. And he got in and he started cooking. Eating. And why? He was hungry. Listen. When you're hungry, the Lord says, oh, come and get it. Need some teachers. Come and get it. Need some missionaries. Come and get it. Need some soul winners. I commit. Well, boy, you start doing what you can do. Maybe you're not eloquent. Make some mistakes. Do some dumb things. And you just kind of walk over your tongue and walk over everybody else. And you're learning. And you're making mistakes. And you're just offending everybody. That's okay. You're hungry. But it's better to have that than dead. That means you're a child of God. Blessed are those that, there's a black boy that was saved back in the 1800s, Samuel Morris. Samuel Morris, as many of you may have heard about it, I got that book out of the bookstore a long time ago. Samuel Morris, he got saved, was so excited. Back there in Africa, in the mission colony of Liberia, he jumped up and down, and he got saved. He wanted to know more about the Holy Spirit, and in other words, more about God. He prayed every night to know more about God. The missionaries taught him all they could teach him, and they said, you got to go to America. He went to America, got passes on a ship to go to America. And on that ship, it was a different world. These sailors, they called him names he never heard before. And they treated him terribly. And he got a job down in the captain's cabin, and he would always, this boy would always sing hymns, like we sing. The same ones, very similar ones, and he would sweep as he was singing down the captain's cabin. The captain got up, walked over to him with one hit, knocked him to the ground. Let's punch him, knocked him out. Sonny Morris lay down on the ground for hours. And as he's down on the ground, coming to, the captain saw that and got ready for a fight. And Sonny Morris got up, and he picked up his broom and began to sweep as though nothing happened. Singing his song. The captain was taken by the sight. He sat down in his chair and called Samuel Morris over, and Samuel Morris led him to the Lord. Samuel Morris led every person on that ship to the Lord, except for one, and he became his bodyguard. Why? Someone was hungry. And I can go on how he went to America, and Reverend Merritt found out this boy's changing things just by giving his testimony. And so he was showing them around everything, and Sonny Morris got down on his face and said, Lord God, he shows me the trees, he shows me the houses and the buildings, but he doesn't show me the Holy Spirit. And that broke Reverend Merritt's heart. And little by little, Sonny Morris' testimony, that's his testimony, changed that man's ministry where thousands and thousands were coming to the Lord now. Why? Hungry. He thought he was ugly. He was short, black. At 21, he died. Never had a chance to go back to Africa to be a missionary. But 600 others went back to be missionaries because of him. Why? Someone's hungry. How about you? How about you? Come and get it, missionaries. Come and get it. Witness soul winners. If you're a genuine Christian, there ought to be a hunger in there someplace. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. And if God has spoken to you today, maybe he's not calling you to be a missionary, but maybe he is. I can tell you this. He's calling you to something. He's saying, come and get it. Maybe it's the meekness. Maybe it's being poor. Maybe you can't be satisfied where you're at. Are you satisfied? Are you content? You have a hunger problem then. God can continue to fill you with his spirit. God can continue to use you. I am not the missionary I want to be. But I am not the missionary I'm going to be. I am not the father and husband that I want to be. But I am not the husband and father I want to be. And I'm going on and on. How about you? The invitation will sound. If God has spoken to you, please, I beg you.